always, welcome to our Sunday morning share. Back after a little bit of a break from last Sunday. And Mitzvah, hopefully now we'll be able to continue going straight. The topic of today's share is something which comes up fairly often. It's based on a pasuk that we find in yesterday's parsha, and that is the idea of passing over mitzvahs. The question is a person allowed to pass over a mitzvah that comes to them? And this is based on the pasuk that we have here in midst of discussing the laws of the Korban Pesach, which we found in Parshas Bo. So the Torah says, "Ushmartem es hamatzos," that there is a commandment that you should guard the matzos. The Torah says that the Korban Pesach is supposed to be eaten together with matzah. You should guard the matzos. Ki de'etzem hayom hazeh otzeisias tivoseichem me'eretz Mitzrayim, because on this day I took you out of the land of Egypt, Hashem says, and therefore you have to guard the matzos. And this pasuk is really the, in its literal meaning, this pasuk refers to the special mitzvah of eating matzah on the night of Pesach that is shmura, eating matzah that has been watched, that it should not turn into chametz, with a specific goal that it should be for the matzah's mitzvah. In other words, on the, even though obviously all of Pesach we eat matzah that was guarded, that it shouldn't turn into chametz, otherwise what would it be worth? But the idea is that it has to be, there's a special shmirah l'shem mitzvah that it was, that they watch this wheat as it's growing, that this should be for the purpose of the matzah's mitzvah, and this is what we eat specifically on the night of Pesach, and thus we have the special inyan by the two nights in Eretz Yisrael, one night by us, the two nights of the Seder, to eat matzah shmura. The rest of Pesach, you don't have to eat matzah shmura. Again, obviously it has to be kosher Pesach matzah, but it doesn't have to be what's officially called matzah shmura. That's a different discussion, what exactly qualifies as matzah shmura. But the idea is that for the Pesach Seder, one has to have it. That's based on this pasuk, Ushmartem es hamatzos. So there's a drasha, there's an interpretation of the pasuk that we find in the Mechilta, in one of the midrashim of Halacha, that the Chazal make the following interpretation. Ushmartem es hamatzos. Now if we look at the word matzos, we notice that the word matzos is spelled similarly to the way the word mitzvos is spelled. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshia Omer, Rabbi Yoshia says, Al tikra kein, you should not read the pasuk only in its literal form, ushmartem es hamatzos, that you should guard the matzos, but rather, el ushmartem es hamitzvos, that you should guard mitzvos. Meaning that this pasuk is not specifically referring only to the night of Pesach, that a person has to eat matzah which was guarded from turning into chametz, but rather it's talking additionally, it's talking in general, all year round. Ushmartem es hamitzvos, that a person has to guard mitzvos. In what sense? Kiderech she'ein machmitzin es hamatzah, the same way that we do not allow matzah to turn into chametz, that we don't allow it to ferment. Kach ein machmitzin es hamitzvos. So too, we should not allow mitzvos to turn into chametz. Ella in ba mitzvah liyad liyodcha asay also miyad. But rather, what we're supposed to do is that if a mitzvah comes to our hand, we should immediately perform the mitzvah. We should not push it off. And that's the analogy to the matzah. In other words, just like we know that matzah has to be tended to immediately. You can't let it sit around. The person prepares the matzah, so if you just let it sit, so it'll turn into chametz. So too, when it comes to mitzvahs, if a mitzvah comes, in general, a whole year, if a mitzvah comes to a person, don't let it sit, don't push it aside, don't say, I'll do it later, but rather, do it right away. Ein machmitzin es hamitzvah. This is what the Chazal tell us, the drasha based on this pasuk. And this is what I would like to speak about, as I mentioned, it comes up in various situations. We'll try to discuss a number of scenarios where this comes up. The idea that a person, when confronted with the opportunity to do a mitzvah, should do it right away. Ein machmitzin as a mitzvah. Don't put it aside. Don't say, all right, I'll get to it later. The same way a person baking matzahs for Pesach, if you went into the matzah bakery and you see the way they prepare the matzahs, you know, if anyone suggested after they mix together the flour with the water, if someone said, all right, let's put it aside and get to it later, they'd come out with a shotgun, right? They would say, you can't do this. Are you kidding? You're going to make everything here into chametz. You're going to destroy everything. So in the, how does this apply in the halacha? So we find, based on this Gemara, the following, based on this Mechilta, based on this interpretation of the Chazal, we find the Gemara in Maseches Yuma says as follows. The Gemara in Maseches Yuma and Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph tells us that there was a very specific order of performance of the various functions that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. That every day we know that they were starting from daybreak, starting from dawn, there was a whole slew of activities that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, the Avoda, and it had to be done in a certain order. And we know you had the carbon tamid was offered, you had eventually the lighting of the menorah, there were all kinds of different things that took place. But in fact, there were many more than we would think of off the top of our head. So the Gemara Maseches Yuma lists off the order that it had to be done in. That there was a certain specific protocol that first came this and then came that and so forth. So the Gemara says that among other things, there was certain cleaning up, so to speak, that needed to take place in the Beis HaMikdash each day in order to prepare it for the activities of the day. And one of them was called the Dishun Mizbeach HaPnimi. Now we know that in the Beis HaMikdash there were actually two Mizbeachs, right? The famous Mizbeach, the great altar upon which all the Karbonos were brought. So that Mizbeach was not actually in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, but that was in the courtyard of the Beis. It was a huge structure, the Mizbeach, very, very large structure, and that existed, that stood in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, that's where all the Karbonos were brought, and so forth. When a person walked into the actual Heichal, a person walked into the building of the Beis HaMikdash, so there was a second, smaller Mizbeach. And that Mizbeach was used exclusively for the offering of the Ketores. That the daily incense offering, which is actually twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, that was the inside, that was called the golden Mizbeach, that was the small Mizbeach which took place. Again, the famous one, the Mizbeach that it was the focus of most of the activity in the Beis HaMikdash, that stood outside. But when one walked inside, you had the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Now every day, in order to prepare it for the Ketores offering that was going to be brought, it had to be cleaned up a little bit from the Ketores of the day before. Things had to be straightened, tidied up. So that's called Dishun Mizbeach HaPnimi. That was one of the avodos that needed to be to take place in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, in addition to that, you also, the Kohen needed to do to prepare the menorah for the eventual lighting of the menorah. That's called Hatavas HaNeiros. So they needed to prepare the cups with the oil and the wicks and so forth. And that also took place in the morning. These activities took place right away in the morning. And the Gemara tells us that there was a specific order that it had to take place in. That when the Kohen walked into the Heichal, when he walked into the building of the Beis HaMikdash, so the first thing he had to do was, the first thing he had to prepare the Mizbeach. And only then would he tend to the menorah. Why is, and that's what it says, that's what the Gemara of Maseches Yuma, Braisa, tells us. So the Gemara asks here towards the bottom, the Gemara asks, my time, or what is the reason for this? Why did it have to be in this order? So says the Gemara, Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, Gemara Gemirna, Svara Lo Yadana. Abaya says that, I'll tell you, we have a tradition that this is the way it was supposed to be done, but I don't know why. This is just the way it was. They had a Masorah, that's the way it's supposed to be. The Rava Amar, however, Rava disagrees. And Rava says, Kiresh Lakish, Rava says that this is to be understood in according to a statement made by Resh Lakish. The Amar Resh Lakish, Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvahs. Resh Lakish said the reason for this is because you can't pass over a mitzvah. And when the Kohen would walk into the building of the Beis HaMikdash, so in the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash stood three Kelim. Right, you had the outside room, and then you had the inside, the Kodesh HaKadosh, and in the outside room you had three of the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, which were the Mizbeach that we're referring to, the Mizbeach HaKtores, and you had the Menorah, and you had the Shulchan. Those were the three Kelim that were inside in the room that you first walked into when you walked into the building, and then in the innermost part, what's called the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So then, in the era of the first Beis HaMikdash, they had the Aron stood there, and that's what you have. And the second Mikdash, they didn't have it towards the end of the era before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. The Aron was hidden away and was never since found. And during the entire period of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Aron, there were no Kruvim in the inside part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But nevertheless, when a person walked into the building, so when the Kohen walked into the building, the way the Kelim were situated, the first thing he would come to would be the Mizbeach. And therefore, because that was the first thing that he came to, he was obligated to take care of that first. Before he got to the menorah would be the second thing that he would get to. And therefore, Rava says it's for this reason that the order was very specific, that you have to prepare the mizbeach before you prepare the aron. Why? Because ein mavirin al hamitzvahs. Because a person is not allowed to pass over a mitzvah. If a mitzvah comes to you, you have to take care of that mitzvah right now. And therefore, the mizbeach is the first thing you come to, that's the first thing you have to deal with. And if you look at Rashi here on the bottom of the page in the right-hand column, Rashi quotes, HaPogeya b'mitzvah, a person who encounters a mitzvah, lo yavar mimena, that person is not allowed to walk away from it. B'nafkon b'mechilta, this is derived in the Mechilta and the Medrash that we read a few moments ago, miushmartem es hamatzos, as the Pasuk says, kori be'et hamitzvos. Well, Tamtin law shetech matzvitik v'tiyashin. That this is based on the drasha that we read a few moments ago from our parsha, that when it comes to mitzvahs, you have to guard the mitzvahs, don't allow them to turn into chametz. And thus, we have the specific order of mitzvahs. So, what we see from this is that this rule, ushmartem esha matzos, which we interpret that a mitzvah has to be taken care of right away. When you have two different mitzvahs to do, the first one that comes to you is the one to do. That would be the one to do. If that's where you're up to, that's the mitzvah that came to you. You don't start saying, well, you know, all right, I'll get to this at a different time. You know, the Kohen could theoretically have said, let me deal with the menorah first, and we'll get to the mizbeach later, you know, for whatever reason. The halacha is that if it's that here, speaking specifically about two different mitzvahs, the first one that comes to you is the one that you should do. And if we turn over the page, we see a much more practical application of this law. Okay, here it's not underlined, but you'll have to bear with me for a moment. The Gemara says it's about seven lines from the top, towards the end of the line. The Gemara applies this principle to something which is very relevant to us. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava. So Rava says that Shma Minah Midrash Lakish, that from this teaching that you're not supposed to pass over a mitzvah, we derive that Abure Dara Atosefta Oser. That the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that for a person to pass over his arm when he's putting on his tefillin, in order to put the tefillin on his head, is prohibited. In other words, we know that when we put on tefillins, everybody knows, that there are two tefillin. There's the tefillin shliyah, the tefillin shorosh, and everybody knows that you put the order that you put them on is you put first on your arm and then on your head. Now, why is that? So says the Gemara. You know why? Because how do you put on tefillin? You put on tefillin with what? With your hand, whichever hand is not the one that you put the tefillin on, that you lie the tefillin on, right? So you use that hand and put on tefillin. Well, when your hand is putting on tefillin, the first part of the body that your hand encounters is your arm before it gets to your head, right? That's the way it is. The arms of a person are parallel, and therefore the first thing that you're going to come to is the arm. So therefore, says the Gemara, it's for this reason that this is the way Rashi interprets the Gemara. I'm sure if you have a question on this, but this is the way Rashi interprets the Gemara, that it is for this reason that we put on the tefillin shaliyad before the tefillin shorosh, because of the fact that you encounter the arm before you encounter the head. Now, if this in fact stands as the halacha, it would come out, meaning the halacha is that you put on the arm first, but if this is the reason for the halacha, then it would come out a very big chiddush, because we know that when you make a comparison of the tefillin shel yad to the tefillin shel rosh, so we are told that the tefillin shel rosh has a greater kedusha than the tefillin shel yad, right? That it's for a certain reason the tefillin shel rosh is considered a higher level of kedusha than the tefillin shel yad. And if in fact what the Gemara here is saying is that you're supposed to put on the shalyad before the shalrosh simply because of the fact that you encounter, that your arm, your hand encounters your arm before it encounters your head in the order of your body, so therefore it would come out that the law of Ein Mavirin and Bar Mitzvahs, that you're not supposed to bypass one mitzvah for another mitzvah, would apply even in a situation where the second mitzvah is greater than the first mitzvah. Because the tefillin shel rosh is a greater level of sanctity than the tefillin shel yad. So naturally speaking, one would say, well, let's go for that one first. But nevertheless, the Gemara is saying, you know why we don't do that? We don't do that because you can't, because the first thing you come across is your arm before you come across your head. And therefore, you have to do this mitzvah first. So if this would be the case, then it would come out that this rule that we are discussing, Ein Mavirin Atzah Mitzvahs, would apply that even if you have two mitzvahs and one is greater than the other, you know, for whatever reason, right? One of them is a bigger inyan than the other, but nevertheless, this is the mitzvah that I have in front of me right now. This is the mitzvah that I have to do. This is what would come out according to the way Rashi interprets the Gemara. However, Tosus here on the side of the page, Tosus on the top, the first Tosus, I'm not going to read it inside, but Tosus challenges what Rashi says based on a question that perhaps some people sitting here had, and that is that you'll say, that's not the reason why you put the tefillin shel yad on before the tefillin shel rosh, right? You'll say, what, the reason is because you encounter your hand, your arm before you encounter your head? That's not the reason. The reason is because it says in the Torah, Ukshartam lahol sal yadecha v'ayilatot tafos v'neinecha. The Torah says the order. The Torah says, first you put it on your arm, then you put it on your head. Every time the Torah speaks about tefillin, it says it in that order. So therefore, you'll say that it has nothing to do with this rule of Ein Mavirin Atzah Mitzvahs. It has nothing to do with that. Because, rather, it's a Xeris HaKadosh. This is what the Torah says. You're supposed to do it this way. So you'll say, but isn't the Shel Rosh a greater Kedusha? Okay, it's a good question. But nevertheless, that's what the Torah says to do. So that's what we do. So therefore, Tosus contests this interpretation of the Gemara that Rashi is offering. And rather, so what then does the Gemara mean that the Gemara is applying this rule of Ein Mavirin Atzah Mitzvahs when it comes to the putting on of tefillin? So says Tosfos, that he's in the middle of the paragraph there, Rabbeinu Tam says, in the name of Rav Haigon, that what the Gemara means is that when you take off the tefillin and you put the tefillin away, so you should make sure that the tefillin, because of the fact, Tosus says, that you're supposed to put on the tefillin shel yad first. In Tosus's view, because the pasuk specifically tells us to do this, So therefore, a person is supposed to be sure when he puts away the tefillin to make sure that the tefillin shel yad is more easily accessible than the tefillin shel rosh, so that the next time when it comes to putting on the tefillin, he does not have to bypass the mitzvah. If, for example, today you have, it's popular, they sell these canisters that the people put the tefillin in, like I think from the Israeli soldiers, that type of setup. They have these, so I think in those arrangements that one goes on top of the other. So in that type of situation, if you have the tefillin shel yad on top of the tefillin shel rosh, and the rule is that you have to put on the shel yad first, so the next day when you come to put on the tefillin, you're going to have to take out the shel rosh, pass it over, and then put on the shel yad. So says Tosfos, that's what you're not supposed to do. That's what, in other words, if you have such a canister, if you have such a tefillin bag or a tefillin setup, so you should make sure that the tefillin shel yad sits on top of the tefillin shel rosh. Because when you put it away, you can't just put it away haphazardly, because you have to be concerned that tomorrow morning I'm going to have to put it on. And then I put it on, I have to put it on the right way. And to put it on the right way, the Torah says you put the arm before the rosh, but you're not supposed to pass over a mitzvah. So even though the Torah says that it must be done this way, the yad first and then the rosh, but nevertheless, we have to do everything we can not to get into a situation that we should be bypassing a mitzvah. So therefore, says Tosfos, that's what the Gemara means. In other words, to bypass the shel yad to the shel rosh, meaning in the arrangement in the bag, that's what you shouldn't do. Now, if that's correct, then it would come out something very different. Then you would have no raya from here that this rule of ein madirin es hamitzvos applies even from a greater mitzvah is, you know, that if a lesser mitzvah presented itself, that you would do the lesser mitzvah, not the greater mitzvah. In other words, again, just to summarize, according to Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara, Rashi learns that the order in which you put on the tefillin. So according to Rashi, it would come out a very great chiddush from this. In other words, if his pshat is accepted, then that pshat would teach us a very great chiddush, that the Torah says that even though tefillin shel rosh is greater prestige than tefillin shel yad, nevertheless, you should put on the shel yad first, because you can't pass over your arm on your way to your head. There's a mitzvah to be done with your arm, do that one first. That would mean that even a lesser mitzvah takes precedence over a greater one. Whereas, according to Tosfos' pshat, it would not be that way. But rather, because according to Tosfos, the pasuk, it specifically teaches us that you have to put on the shel yad first. It has nothing to do with protocol. It's with the ein ma'avir and samitzvos. It has to do because the Torah specifically said it. Nevertheless, what the Gemara meant was just simply that you should arrange them in such a way that you come to the shel yad first. But, so according to Tosfos, you would not see this chiddush. You would not see this halacha that a greater mitzvah gets pushed away even for a lesser mitzvah. In fact, in the poskim, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the reason that's given for why we put on shel yad before the shel rosh is Tosfos' reason, and therefore this chiddush that a lesser mitzvah would take priority even over a greater mitzvah if it presented itself first, is very debatable whether in fact it's true, and it seems that we would not hold that to be the case. That if a greater mitzvah was there, but it was going to be there within a short period of time, it could be, you would not see clearly from here what the ruling will be. We'll get back to this in a few minutes. Okay, so that's one situation. That's one situation. Although actually maybe it would be even worthwhile getting to this now. If you turn over here to source number five, so we find a very fascinating ruling which comes up, and again, it may be dependent on this machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. This is a quote from the Tshuvas or Radvaz that we've mentioned many times. The Radvaz says the following. The Radvaz says, Kasev, which is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Tefillah, that they had the following shaila. Tuflis, there was a Jew who was in prison, and he was being held indefinitely. Shehasar nasan lo rishus yom echad l'sfalo matzibur b'minyan. But the warden of the prison, this guy negotiated with the warden of the prison. Again, in those days, the prisons were not like today. They had no tennis courts in the prisons of the time, in the 16th century. And this fellow went to the warden and begged him. He said, one day let me be able to daven with a minyan. Let me come one day daven with, let me out for one day. I should be able to have the privilege to daven with a minyan. And he was granted that request, and he was granted Eze Yom Sheyirtzu, whichever day you want. You could pick one day out of the year you can have, and that'll be your day that you could go down with a minyan. Okay? So now, if somebody, think for a minute, if someone called you up from a prison cell and said, I need advice. I was given rishus, I was given permission that one day I could go down with a minyan. Which day should I pick? Right? So naturally, what would we say? So we would say Yom Kippur, right? The Rosh Hashanah, something like that. Right? That would be our thinking. So says the Radvaz, an amazing psak, says the Radvaz, Yisfalo Osa Yom Kippur. The Radvaz says, do not wait for Yom Kippur. Daven on that very day. On the first day that you have at your ability, the ability to, at your disposal, the ability to go daven with a minyan, that should be the day. V'loyach mitzah mitzvah. Don't push it off. Don't push it off. L'hamtin al Yom Kippur or Purim. It's interesting. He says maybe Purim would be a day because you hear the mitzvah of the Megillah, right? That which is a big inyan to hear the laning of the Megillah. So you might say wait for that. So the Radvaz said absolutely not. That very day should be the day that you should go here. They should go daven with a minyan. Don't push it off. Okay, and then the Mishnah Berurah proceeds to quote from the Chai Adam. So here you see a remarkable thing. In other words, this man had a choice. The guy apparently was good for his word. He said, I'll give you any day of the year that you want to daven. And it doesn't say specifically when this shiloh took place, so okay, we can imagine any day of the year. Which day should he go? So we all would have said, Yom Kippur, right, something like that. Says the Radvaz, absolutely not. Go today. Go today. Why? Because today you can daven with a minyan. You have a mitzvah to do today. Don't push it off. This is an application of u'shmartem es ha-mitzvah. It's an amazing thing. Now, this might get involved in, you know, you say, well, that sounds like Rashi's way of looking at things. That even though the davening on the other day is more prestigious than the davening on this day, so to speak, but nevertheless, you have to do the one that comes to you. This is not... This Radvaz is somewhat vague because it doesn't say exactly how far away from Yom Kippur this was, right? So one could possibly make the argument, even though maybe it doesn't sound that way, but one could make the argument that it's because he's been waiting for a while. And to wait for a while, there are all kinds of considerations. Who says he'd be able to do it? Right, who says the person has the opportunity to do the mitzvah, even if the warden will honor his word? But who says the person is going to live that long? All kinds of considerations, right? So therefore, it's somewhat unclear. And if one in fact looks in the Chai Adam, which the Mishnah Berurah here concludes by quoting, the Chai Adam is not so sure that this would apply in general when it comes to a major mitzvah, so to speak, over a more of a minor type of mitzvah. But nevertheless, at least we see this concept. In other words, clearly what you do see here is that when given the opportunity, it's not just something that we could dismiss. It's not just something that we could say flippantly that, all right, you know, I'll push it off. Because here you see that it could have waited till Yom Kippur to daven, which would, everyone understands the importance of everyone goes to shul on Yom Kippur. And yet the Radvaz told him that he should go now and don't wait because of the fact that a mitzvah that comes to your hand, you should not push off. Okay, so this speaks about the idea of not pushing off one mitzvah for another mitzvah. Now, what about pushing off a mitzvah itself to be able to do it better at a later time? In other words, if you can't push off a mitzvah, so it goes without saying that the main point that would come out from this discussion would be that when a mitzvah comes up, a person, this is the klal, al kach mitzena, don't allow the mitzvahs to turn into chametz. Right? This is where the title of the shir, right? Where it's Pesach the whole year, right? The Harvey's email, not to scare any women, but the reality is that the spirit of Pesach is really applies the whole year, and that is the idea of don't push it off, don't let it's going to turn into chametz. The mitzvah is going to turn into chametz if you let, because who knows what's going to happen? The opportunity may not be there. You have a chance to do it now, do it now. That's all. Now, what about a person who says, I will do it later because I could do it better if I wait till later? So this comes up, this Shiloh comes up in, I think, several places, but most prominently comes up in the discussion of the laws of Kiddush Levana. Because we know that, we discussed once, that the laws of Kiddush Levana, so Kiddush Levana is a Kabbalah's Pnei Ashkina, when a person says the monthly recitation of Kiddush Levana goes outside of the shul, so it's considered that the person is embracing the Shekhinah. Is embracing the Shekhinah, and for that reason, Kiddush Levana is supposed to be said b'simcha. The person is supposed to be happy when he says Kiddush Levana. We discussed once for that reason, Kiddush Levana is not supposed to be said at the conclusion of a fast day. We just had recently, right, Asar B'Teves was in the Kiddush Levana part of the month, and for a person upon concluding the fast of Asar B'Teves to go out of the shul and say, all right, let's say Kiddush Levana, is not the right thing to do, because since you're fasting, so you're not the simcha, and therefore you shouldn't do it. And the only exception to this is, the only clear exception to that rule is Matzi Yom Kippur, because everyone is the simcha despite the fact that they're fasting, so then you could do it. But any other time, you're not supposed to. But we know that the practice of Klal Yisrael is to wait until Motzai Shabbos to say Kiddush Levana. And that is because of what does it have to do so much with Shabbos? So it's not so much Shabbos per se, but it's because when Shabbos ends, the person is in the good frame of mind from the spirit of Shabbos, in a good mood. I had a nice Shabbos, and therefore I'm the simplest, I could say Kiddush Levana. So the halacha there is brought down that if the person should preferably wait, even though the official day to say Kiddush Levana started before Shabbos, the earliest time he could have said it started before Shabbos. Nevertheless, a person should wait until Motzai Shabbos to say the Kiddush Levana. So that would actually point in the direction that if a person feels that if I wait, I could do the mitzvah better, so then already, that would be an indication that would be the right thing to do. It happens to be that this is disputed. Not everyone agrees with this. In the Sefer Hasidim, it's brought down that a person should not push it off. A person should, even if it means doing it better later, a person should do it right away. But what's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, which would presumably be what we follow, is that a person can delay the Kiddush Levana, and therefore that shows us that an exception to this rule of not pushing off mitzvahs is if I'm delaying doing the mitzvah because I know that if I wait a little bit, I'll do it in a better way. Then we would say you could push it off.
Would this case of the prison guy davening later versus davening now being?
Yes, yeah, so I don't. So the guy in the prison, I don't think that he's doing the mitzvah better. I think it's more chashuv. Meaning the davening itself is more precise. He's not going to daven better if you wait. He'll daven the same kavanah whether it's Yom Kippur or the other days. It's just that the davening of Yom Kippur itself is a greater davening than the davening on a regular day. I said, yeah, yeah.
So, well, in the same scenario, according to the warden's rules, he has to use the same day every year.
Okay, I'm not sure. It's hard to know. Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I know, yeah.
Why are we Kiddush Levana? You run the risk that it won't be clear on that.
Yeah, so Kiddush Levana, you do run that risk, so there's rules that it depends which, you know, how many days have passed. You only wait till Motzai Shabbos if it's going to be before the 10th of the month. There are people that say here in Miami, you have to be even more medactic because of the fact that it's very often cloudy at night, but I don't know whether that, you know, I've heard that said, I don't know to what degree that's true, but the fact is that, yeah, you're right. In other words, we wait till Motzai Shabbos if it's before the 10th of the month. You can say Kiddush Levana approximately till the 15th, it goes by the Molad, not by Rosh Chodesh, but nevertheless, pretty much to the 10th of the month, we would wait till Motzai Shabbos. Okay, another situation where this comes up, another situation which is not so well known, Another scenario would be in the case of making hamotzi on Friday night. Okay, if you look here in source number 6, so we have a very interesting halacha that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, that the different customs here, and I don't want to start trouble, but I'm just reading what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and a person who has a different custom, you know, could look into that. But the Shulchan Aruch says that the correct way to say hamotzi on the loaves of bread Friday night and Shabbos morning is that when you say the bracha, there should be one on top of the other, not parallel. In other words, obviously they sit on the challah board parallel, but when it comes to making the bracha, so they should be stacked, one on top of the other. So, and the Shulchan Aruch here says, Botzea al shteya kikaros, I'm starting from 6, Botzea al shteya kikaros shleimos, the person should say the hamotzi on the two whole loaves of bread, sha'okashen biyado, that he should be holding both loaves of bread in his hand, ubotzea tachtona, and he should say, he should break the bottom one. He should break the bottom one. In other words, the actual one that's going to be cut, often you end up cutting both of them, but if you're going to cut just one, the one that's cut, and the one that should immediately be cut, is the bottom one. So says the Shulchan Aruch. Comes along the Ramah, and he says that Hagav Edafka B'Leil Shabbos, that this is only on Friday night that this is true. Avo B'Yom Shabbos O B'Leil Yontif Botzei Al Hel Yonah. In other words, on Shabbos morning, or by Shalosh Udas, or by Yontif, regardless of day or night, we always say the bracha on the top one. But specifically, Friday night, you say the bracha, you cut the bottom one. V'hatam al derech ha-kabbalah. The Ramah says there's a Kabbalistic reason for this. He doesn't tell us what it is. But nevertheless, this is what the Ramah says. That a person should stack up, when he says the bracha, matzalef menorah, should stack up the two chalos, one on top of the other, and actually cut the bottom one on Friday night. Shabbos day, and any other time, yontif, day or night, you would cut the top one. But Friday night, you cut the bottom one. Now, the question comes up, how are you allowed to do this? According to what we're saying, that you're not allowed to pass over a mitzvah. So, if you have the two loaves of bread, so, and the one on top is being passed over for the one on the bottom, so why is this not a problem of Ein Mavirin Es HaMitzvahs? So, if you look down the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Hay, which is four lines from the bottom, so he brings, sure enough, that Habach, Toma, the Bach, one of the commentaries, says, I don't understand, how could you do such a thing? Ein mavirin es al ha-mitzvahs. How are you allowed to cut the challah in that fashion? So the Hataz Tikein says, the Mishnah Berurah proceeds to say that the Taz, who, by the way, happens to have been the son-in-law of the Bach, the Taz said that I have a solution to this, and therefore the solution is, v'nohag, he says the way to solve the problem is that when a person says hamotzi Friday night, he should stack them up one on top of the other, but the bottom one should be closer. In other words, that the bottom one should be slightly closer than the top one. So therefore, even though you'll say, well, I come to the top one first, but not in that sense, because the bottom one is closer to you. So you're coming to the bottom one first. So therefore, this is his solution, or he has another solution. This is what I think a lot of people do. He has another solution, which is also clever, and that is that when you say the bracha, he says, Alokon halyona b'shas birchas hamotzi, v'menichen oso lamata, that you, I guess, presuming that you have them stacked up, so when you say the bracha, you start off with the one on top, and then you quickly move the top one to the bottom. So therefore, that was the one anyway you were supposed to come to first. Okay, so therefore you ended up getting the top one. You moved the top one to the bottom. That I have not seen people do. But the other solution is more commonly done, that you put the bottom challah closer than the top challah. So here we see an extension. Here we see an extension of this concept of Ein Mavirin Es HaMitzvahs. And that is, Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvahs, and that is that when it comes to that when it comes to not passing over a mitzvah, so it applies even in a situation like this, where it's just a question of, you know, I physically encounter one before the other. It's just a slight physical difference, right? One is on top and one is on the bottom. It's not like I'm pushing it aside. It's not like I'm moving it away, but I'm pushing it aside. And even that, even when it comes to such a minute level of Eim HaNichin, Eim HaVirnes HaMitzvahs, we find that there is a concern in the halacha that a person should not do it so easily, that a person has to be concerned that he should move the bottom challah closer to the top. So with this in mind, just coming closer to home, there are two scenarios that I would like to discuss that you'll say, well, if we're going to take this thing seriously, then what about the following? Okay, so number one, here we live in North Miami Beach, where all the shuls in this neighborhood pretty much are situated along 10th Avenue. Within right, virtually every shul is on the same street, and just that, you know, on different 171st, 172nd, 175th, whatever it may be. So now the question is, let's say I daven in shul X, but in order to get to shul X from my house, I have to pass by shul Y. And that's just the way it is. I live here, for whatever reason, I daven in this shul. And I'm passing by a different shul to get to my shul. So is there a question with that? But now you'll say, ah, come on, what are you making a big deal? Well, but you see here with the challahs, right, that when it comes to the challahs, where it's just a simple thing of one being on top of the next, and you say, what's the big deal? You know, all right, that's not called pushing off a mitzvah. That's just called that I'm, you know, putting it aside. Is that such a big deal? But apparently it is a big deal. So if that's true, so then how, and everybody knows that this is commonly done, that people pass by a shul, you know, that in order to get to a different shul.
So they're davening at the same time.
Okay, assuming, all right, if they're not davening, all right, that's fair enough. If they're not davening at the same time, so you could say that the shul that I passed by it right now is not davening. Okay, all right.
There's another problem.
Yeah.
There's one shul that was there first.
Another shul that was there first. All right, we'll see if we come up with a better. See, I had even a better head because I, Baruch Hashem, I don't think in this neighborhood it applies.
You don't want to.
You don't.
You're
going on the side street. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. But that also could get into, you know, the way it's situated. See, I thought it better out there, but the Baruch Hashem, I see it doesn't apply in this neighborhood. In a lot of neighborhoods, there's a shul that I daven in, and the shul I wouldn't be caught dead in. Right. So therefore, so I thought that the pikuach nefesh would take precedence over this halacha. That therefore, there's no shiloh you're allowed to, because you don't have to jeopardize your life in order to keep this mitzvah. Okay, but the reality is that to this shaila, so obviously we know that it's mutter to do such a thing because everyone does it. Now, you've never in your life heard anyone make an issue out of it. So the question is, why is that? So the interesting explanation that's given here in the Sefer Shor HaMetzion V'Halacha, he quotes a very interesting thing. Let me just back it up, and I regret that this is not on the sheet. We have here in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, sometimes Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you know, sometimes is studied, you know, carefully, and sometimes certain sections just get glossed over. There's a fascinating psak that the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person has in his town two shuls, he should better go to the one that's farther. Why is that? So he says, because of the fact that you get the schar psios, because you get reward for walking to shul. In other words, when you go to shul, it's not just davening in the shul, but you're going to shul. So when you're going to shul, you're going to do a mitzvah. So if it takes you longer to get to this shul, so you did more of a, you did the mitzvah of walking to shul greater than if you went to the closer shul. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that a person should better go to the farther shul. So this ruling is based on a psak that's in the Magen Avraham. He didn't make this up. The Magen Avraham says such a thing also. One of the early commentaries in Shulchan Aruch. But in the Sefer Shaar Metzion Ba'alacha, which is written by a contemporary Rav, just passed away about 10, 15 years ago, so he says that, however, this is not necessarily the case, because he says, how would you reconcile this with our rule of Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs? Right? In other words, the Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs says that you have to go to the first shul, presumably would say you should go to the first shul. So therefore, what do you mean? That in order to get more schar, I'm going to go to the father shul. But what right do you have to do that? You're not allowed to pass over a mitzvah. You're not allowed to pass over a mitzvah. So he wants to say, he quotes a source that says that therefore this ruling of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch may only apply to women. Because a woman does not have a chiyuv to daven with a minyan, as we've mentioned in the past, does not have a chiyuv like a man does to daven with a minyan. So therefore, if a woman is going to go to shul, it's a great mitzvah, and she doesn't have the chiyuv, so therefore, she doesn't have the rule of Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs, because it's not a chiyuv mitzvah that she has. So for her, so then already, to go to the farther one, you accumulate more schar for the walking. That's what some people want to say. But he says no, he says that the truth is the ruling of Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs does not apply when it comes to shuls to men either. Why is that? So he says, because we know that when it comes to shul, going to shul, so davening in a shul is not such a simple thing, right? Why does a person choose one shul over another shul? So generally speaking, the reason is because I'm more inspired, I'm more comfortable in this shul. For whatever reason, this is the place that I feel I can daven better. So therefore, it's not just a question of, you know, the top loaf of bread or the bottom loaf of bread, where it's the same thing, what's the difference, right? But here, there's a qualitative difference. If I'm going to go to this shul, in this shul I'm inspired, in this shul I can daven well, in the other shul I don't feel so comfortable, whatever it is, I'm not going to be able to daven well. So therefore, on that basis, he says that the whole ruling of Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs would not apply. Because, he says, what is the reason for Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs? What is the reason that you shouldn't pass over a mitzvah? So until now, we've been saying that the reason is because you may not come to do it. If you push it aside, Al Tach Mitzena, don't let it turn into chametz. Right? You're going to push aside the mitzvah, it's going to turn into chametz. You know, you say you'll do it and you'll never end up doing it. We all know that happens, right? That you think you'll get to it and you don't end up getting to it. But says Shaar Metzion Ba'alacha, and it's based on something that's found in the Rambam, that that's not the only reason. There's another reason also, which is that it's like degrading the mitzvah. In other words, to put aside this mitzvah, to go do that mitzvah, is like an insult. What's wrong with me? Like, you're gonna go do the other mitzvah? The first mitzvah says, so what am I, chopped liver? Right? I'm also a mitzvah, so why should you put me aside to go do that mitzvah? Says the Shaar Metzion Ba'alacha, but if there's a reason that I'm doing it, so it's not an insult. It's not an insult. It's not because I don't take this mitzvah seriously. It's not because I don't value this mitzvah. But it's because, practically speaking, there's a reason. I could do this mitzvah better in this other place. So therefore, like we said before, that's a svara, that I could daven better in this shul. If I could daven better in this shul, that's the shul I should go to. So thus we see, this is what he says, and I would assume that this is clearly the accepted psak. I've never ever heard anyone make an issue out of this. You know, it could be that if you were theoretically in a place that you were never in before, you know, if a person traveling in a foreign country, and or even, let's say, a person in certain parts of Eretz Yisrael, a person goes to Eretz Yisrael, not familiar with these in this community, and it comes time for mincha, so it could be that the first shul that he comes to, he doesn't know which shul is going to be better. So, you know, okay, you could find out, I got an Ashkenaz or Sfarad or whatever, but the fact of the matter is that it theoretically could be that if you have no knowledge of whether it will be better in one place or the other, then the first place you come to should be the place that you daven in. But typically by us, certainly in the place that we live, that's not the case, because we all go to shuls that we know, and I like it here, and this is where I feel I could daven well. So in that situation, that is the heter for a person to go to the shul of his choice in the place that he lives. You could say, this is where I want to daven. And that's just the way it is. I could pass by 20 shuls. You go in certain communities where you, there's shuls on every block, and then you certainly Yerushalayim, you have places that you can pass by who knows what. You know, you go to the Goblin, the person goes to the Kol Samarov, he could be passing by 15 minyanim on the way to the one that he gets to where he is planning on davening. You say, how are you allowed to do that? So the answer is because I feel it's going to be quieter over here. Or it's going to be better. I'll be able to hear the chassid, smaller crowd. I'll be able to hear the chassid better. So that is a great heter for this rule of Ein Magir Na HaMitzvahs. And with that in mind, I would just end off by saying a shaila which comes up, which you hear, not so commonly, but sometimes the people who are very meticulous in mitzvahs raise this question. And that is eating by someone on a Shabbos meal. And let's say you're a guest in someone's house, so the person is making kiddush, you don't make your own, let's say the Baal HaBayis makes the kiddush, and then he starts pouring off cups of wine to pass out to everyone that they should have a cup of wine for themselves. Okay, so some people have it that they have a tray with a whole bunch of cups arranged, and they pour all the cups and then pass them around. In that type of setup, so typically when whoever is sitting right next to him takes the tray, takes one off, passes to the next one, and so forth. But not everyone does it like that. So sometimes you have that the person pours one cup at a time and says, here, pass it down. Or when it comes to hamotzi, right, they cut the challah and they say, here, pass it down. So the derech eretz that I think most people follow is that you pass it to the person who's sitting at the farthest end of the table. Right, that's typically the decent way that people conduct themselves. So I've heard over the years that people raise the objection that you shouldn't be allowed to do that because ein ma'vir in al ha-mitzvahs. Because the piece of challah, how do you have the right to take the challah and pass it to the next person? Right? How do you have the right to do that? It's your mitzvah also. So you should have to, as he's passing out the challah, the wine, that should be taken first come, first serve. The first person who gets it should be the one to eat it. How do you have the right to pass it down? I have heard this question raised in different situations. So, you know, I saw once, there's all kinds of opinion on this, I saw once somebody says that the person who's cutting the challah, his intention is that the person at the far end of the table should receive the challah, so therefore it's not your challah to take because it was earmarked for that person. Okay, so that's what some people want to say, and therefore it wouldn't be a shaila. But it's hard to know if that really is true, and very often the person cutting the challah just doesn't think much about it and just says, you know, here, take it, under the pressure to cut the challah, everyone wants to resume speaking, quickly cut the challah. So, but I think that based on this psak of the Sharm HaTzion Balacha, we could easily justify the practice that you could pass it down. Because again, in a certain sense, it's the same type of thing. In other words, why am I passing it down? I'm not passing down the challah because I don't care. I'm passing down the challah because it's like, it's Derek Harris, you know, why I got the good seat. You know, this person, you know, Nebuch got the seat at the other end of the table due to whatever random reason is sitting on that spot. So the, sort of to try to, you know, compensate in some way, we try to, when the food comes out, at least that much, you know, try to level the playing field. I'll give you the challah first, I'll give you the wine first. So the Indian of Derek Harris. In such a thing. So if it's the Indian of Derek Harris, I'm not passing it because I don't care. In other words, if I said, here, I don't want this challah, who needs it? A mitzvah? I'll take it 5 minutes from now. That would be the wrong thing. But if I'm doing it because of the consideration, and it certainly it's a halakha consideration, which Derek Harris would be, so it seems to me, pashut, that a person in that situation would be allowed to pass it down without any shaila. I think this is should logically be the case. I don't see how it's really different than going to the shuls. And therefore, I think that should this come up, if someone raises the issue, in my humble opinion, I think it's simple that a person would be allowed to pass it up. This is, in a nutshell, the concept of Ein Ma'avir Na HaMitzvahs. I omitted one thing just very briefly. It does come up also with the talis and tefillin, that even though when it comes to tefillin, we put on the arm before the head, we also have the practice that we put on talis before tefillin, and the reason for that is because Ma'am B'Kodesh Ve'im Uridin, that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. But, however, if it happens to be that a person takes tefillin out of his bed before the talis, The halacha is you have to put on the tefillin first. Not so well known. But this is the halacha because it ain't mavir in ala mitzvahs, because in this scenario we would say that once you came you have to do it. This is the kitzur, there are other applications of this, but I think we covered the basic concepts involved in this halacha, and in that sense we could go through the entire year without passing over, keeping the hilchos Pesach of not passing over and not allowing mitzvahs to turn into chametz.